Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome here to our midweek service at Calvary Baptist Church, Blairn. And also welcome all those listening, watching over our live streaming here, and listening to our FM signal in town here, 88.7. Please open your hymnals on number 292. Surely goodness and mercy.
292. I was I and I wandering in the cold night and sin I did roam. Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's storing my soul when I'm weary. He gave it me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still water. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's got to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the tables spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can know that we have a God who wants to bless His children, thankful that we can know Thy peace and truth in our hearts, and we can know that we have a God who never leaves us, never forsakes us, but is always with His children. I pray for anyone that's listening today that does not know Thee as their God and Savior, that they might see that they are going through life in a very dangerous, very risky manner, on their own, and under Thy wrath. Pray that many would be saved in these last days and see the need to know Thy peace and truth before it's eternally too late. We pray for those who are saved that we might understand the importance of obedience to thee, as we are learning from the life of Moses how important it was for him to obey in everything, and how important it is for us to obey. It's not a matter of obeying to be saved or obeying to keep ourselves saved, but rather of demonstrating that we are thy children. We're thankful that we can obey, and it's not a drudgery, it's not a dreadful thing, but it's a pleasure to honor thee and to live for thee when our hearts are right with thee. We do pray for our country of Canada. We pray for our governments, as well as for our police force and our medical staff, as many of them are lost, and many of them have chosen the way of deception. They have not bothered to do any research on their own. They have just bought the lie, some of them intentionally, some of them deceived, but all of them going the wrong way. And we pray, Father, that they would see their need to repent and be saved before it's eternally too late. We do pray for any Christians that are in the police force or within the medical profession, that they would not be ashamed to speak the truth and allow thee to direct them and to bless them as they stand up for that which is right and true. We do pray for those who claim to be Christians and yet are hiding behind the system, that they would be brought under conviction as they are a stumbling block by claiming to be saved and then following the lies that are so common today. We pray for the nation of Israel, and as they continue to deal with this attack from Gaza and through the power, the assets of Iran, pray for them that as many in Israel are lost, including their leaders, that they might see the need to turn to thee and know thy forgiveness and peace in these last days that we're living. We continue to pray also for the situation between Ukraine and Russia. Pray that the Christians there would be faithful to thee and many others would be saved. We pray as we see unrest building across the world. And we know that the time is coming. We don't know when, but the time is coming when the Antichrist will come. But before that, the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the air and remove all the saints from this world. And we pray that for those of us that are saved, that we'd be watching, that we'd be faithful to thee, and that we would be helping others to know the truth as we walk faithfully with thee, glorifying thee in our lives. So we pray that thou wouldst guide us here tonight. May we allow thee to direct our thoughts and our actions, that we would please thee, and thy will would be accomplished through the ministry of this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And over to 337. 337. 337. Teach me thy way. 337.
Teach me thy way. When storms
347. Tell it to Jesus. 347.
Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do not tears flow. Your tears be hurting. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you seen that no man's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You've no such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, he is a friend that will know. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to read there from verse 3 to the end of verse 8. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 24, beginning there at verse 3. And it says there, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee this evening again that we have Thy Word. We're thankful that we can read Thy Word, thankful that we can take a look into the future. We don't need a crystal ball. We don't need tarot cards. We don't need to look at the lines in our hands. We don't need to ask and seek for a vision. We have Thy Word, and Thy Word is sure. We're thankful that the disciples, as they were looking and as they were wondering about things in the future, that they came to Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask for the answers. And that's important as we are curious about things, and many people are curious, and most people are going to psychics, they're going to foolish people who don't have any answers, but they're accepting their lies as answers. We're thankful that we have Thy Word. We can know the truth, and if we will keep in mind the context, we will not be leading ourselves astray by misunderstanding what Thou hast said. And so we pray that Thou wouldst help us today as we look into this passage, that we would allow Thee to direct us. And we pray that in these last days that many would be saved, as we know that the warnings are here. We're in a dangerous time in society, and it seems as if we're very close to the end of this age. I pray, Father, that many would be saved before it's eternally too late. They might desire Thy peace, Thy truth, and that we would be faithful in proclaiming Thy truth. Pray for boldness, and we ask that we would be given the liberty to proclaim Thy truth in the days that we have on this earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this evening is Knowing the Truth Protects Against Deception. Knowing the Truth Protects Against Deception. In the opening verses of this chapter, the disciples were impressed with religious symbols. They were impressed with the temple. They saw the building. That's what they noted. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." They weren't even interested, even concerned about the people coming to the temple. They were, at this point, drawn to the buildings. And they were not seeing the emptiness of that place. Two times in Jesus' earthly ministry, he cleansed the temple, once at the beginning of his ministry and once near the end of his ministry. Both times, he chased out the money changers, he overthrew their tables, he accused them of turning his Father's house into a house of merchandise. The disciples seem to have missed that. They seem to have missed the reality even of Jesus in his teaching that He was the real temple. That building of stone and gold was soon going to be destroyed. But Jesus Christ was the real temple. And he's the one that people need to know. And yet, most people in Jesus' day didn't want to know him. And most people today don't want to know him either. It's very interesting to observe, even those who claim to be Christians, how that they are drawn to places that have programs. They think that that's so important, programs. And that's one of the minor things. What's important is the teaching of God's word, the clear and careful teaching of God's word without compromise. And as we continue looking at this passage, one of the things that is very important for us to understand is that if we are paying attention to God's word, it's going to change us. If you go in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, the local church is something that you cannot overstress the importance of the local church. I forget right now how many times the New Testament talks about the local church. Jesus Christ introduced the local church in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 18, and he said it would be built upon him. But the local church is designed by God to be a place where his word is taught. That's the primary purpose of any true church. The primary purpose of the temple in the Old Testament was for the people to come together to bring their sacrifices and to learn of the true God. We don't have sacrifices today. We bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, which is the local church, very important part of the local church. But not the most important part. The most important part is the Word of God. And those who are saved should recognize how precious that is, that Word is, and that we have a place where we can meet to study God's Word. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We have many false religions in our world today. There's an abundance of an overabundance of false religion. And it is sad to see how many people are drawn in by false religion. As we look at our text, one of the warnings that Jesus gave us there is that in verse 4, he said, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Jesus warned that many would be deceived by false teachers, people claiming to be Christ, claiming to be speaking on behalf of Christ, but they were deceptive. They were false teachers. And it's important for us to understand that and to be careful in our own lives that we stick to God's word, stick to the truth, and follow the truth. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've looked at these verses several times in the past. There's some verses that have become very important to me because of my background. And I believe they should be important to just about everyone in today's world, because most of us have had some false teaching in our past. And we need to see the importance of the truth. In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having inner readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, we have talked before, and the Bible also points out that what children learn in their youth, in their younger years, tends to stick with them for a long time. It tends to be the philosophy that they build on. Many children are not taught the truth. But we have the assurance from God's word that his word is powerful. And even though a child may be taught wrong when they are a child, if they get saved, they have the capacity to have those strongholds, those false teachings pulled down as they submit to God's truth. And I believe that's one of the problems we're facing today in this time, is that not very many people are actually very serious about God's word. And so they keep their false teachings, they keep their false doctrine, and they don't allow the word of God to correct them and to change them. They're deceived. And Jesus warns in our text about the deception. So the first point that we have is, don't be deceived. Now, last time we looked at verse 3, and we said that the disciples came to Jesus and they had three questions. And you should identify them in your Bibles. The first question is, tell us, when shall these things be? The second question, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And the third question, and of the end of the world. Those three questions are what the disciples are asking. Jesus, in his answer, starting in verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them. So Jesus is addressing them, and he's going to give them the answers that they need in regard to the questions that they asked. And we must understand that as we look at chapter 24 and chapter 25, we are dealing with a future time. We're not dealing with the time that you and I are living in. We're dealing with the time of the tribulation. The text makes that clear. And so we need to be careful that we're not deceived, because there are many, and there have been many in past generations who have looked at least parts of this chapter and tried to make it fit for the time in which they lived. And so they have come up with false understanding in regard to the fact that people can lose their salvation. It says in verse 22, for instance, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That's not talking about us today. That's not talking about the time in which we're living. It's talking about the tribulation time. That's the time that is shortened. The Antichrist has 7 years from the time that he is given his place by God till the time that he is cast into the lake of fire. He has 7 years to enact his wicked plan. 7 years, in the scheme of things, is a short time. It goes by very fast. To those who will be living during that time, it may seem like a long time, because it's going to be a terrible time, but it's a short time. And so Jesus, in our text in verse 4, says, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, the Bible tells us that Eve was deceived in Genesis chapter 3. It tells us that Adam was not deceived. He chose to believe a lie. He was supposed to be the head of his family. He was the one who was given the instructions from God, and he chose to believe a lie rather than follow what he knew to be right. There's a news item coming out of Alberta right now that has caused a bit of a stir. And it's regarding an essay that was awarded third prize in a recent government-run contest. And in the essay, the author, who according to the article is a woman, but they don't identify her, but she wrote that women should not be treated as equal and that women should not be running for positions that are designed for men. She's telling the truth. She's speaking the truth. Now, the press and, of course, politicians, they have attacked the government because this woman, they figure, should never have gotten an award for that article. And the government tried to wash their hands of it, but recently, I believe it was today or yesterday, the minister in charge of that portfolio admitted that they had not been careful enough in awarding the prize. The issue there is that, of course, women today, feminism, is not interested even in equality. They want superiority. In most homes today, women have the superiority over the men. Women are running for politician. Our prime minister said that half of his cabinet had to be women. And when it comes to nominations, sometimes they overlook men just because they want a woman in that place. It's not a matter of who's qualified, and women should not be running for politics. They shouldn't be looking to be the CEO of a company. And yet that is very important in our world today. So many people are being deceived today. They're believing a lie. And it's causing a lot of problems because women are not created by God to handle those kinds of pressures. It's not for them. It's not their design. And we noted that on Sunday that God created the woman to be the help meet for the man. That's the woman's position. And when a woman knows the Lord, she will be content in that position. She has lots to do in being the help meet for the man. Generally, according to God's plan, there's going to be children that come along. The man is supposed to be the one that goes out and works to bring in the income. Not the wife, the man. So what does the woman do? She looks after those children. That's a big responsibility. That's a lot of work to look after children and to train them in the absence of the father who's out at work. Instructing them, teaching them many things and how to behave themselves and to learn to listen and to behave like people, not like animals. And many things that a mother has to do, including keeping the house and cooking the meals and all kinds of things. There's lots to do for a God-fearing woman without her trying to take the place that belongs to the man. So it's not a matter of a power struggle. A man and a woman can both be saved. They both can pray and have the same access to God in prayer. But their function on earth, their duties on earth are different, designed so by God. And so there are many who are deceived in today's world by false teachers. There are even women who dare to call themselves pastors. They get out there and they think that they have the right from God. They believe they've been called by God to preach. They're false teachers. But they claim that their authority comes from the Word of God. So they don't necessarily stand up and say, "I am Christ," but by their teaching and by their actions, they claim to be speaking with Christ's authority. And so it's very important to understand the need for truth in all things. And it seems to me that even in Baptist circles, independent Baptist circles, there seems to be a carelessness when it comes to the importance of truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 and 9, or sorry, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and then Galatians 5, 9, it says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" That's 1 Corinthians 5, 6. And then Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9. Galatians 5, 9 says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Now, anybody that's ever done any baking, you know that the leaven that you put into the dough is a small portion compared to the rest of what's in that dough. It doesn't take very much. Of course, if your leaven is old, then it's not going to function as well as it should. But we're talking here about the general principle of the leaven. And the context of those verses is that leaven is a picture of sin. Now, leaven in our dough is not a bad thing. But the nation of Israel was told not to have any leaven even in their houses during the time of the Passover. They were to clean it right out of their houses. And it was a picture of sin. And so, as we look at the local church, now again, we understand that no church is going to do everything right. We're human. We're fallible. But no church can use the excuse, well, because I'm not going to do everything right, therefore it's not important that I try to do everything right. We need to try to do what we need to be doing, obeying God in everything. Every doctrine that we hold to, we need to examine it and make sure, is this a biblical doctrine? Are we following God in what we're teaching? That's important. It's important for us personally, but it's also important for our outreach, that people can understand that we are teaching the truth. The last time that we were at the personal care home, the buzzer wasn't working, so we had to find a way to get into the building because of the foolishness of the time we're living in. But when we finally got in and got ready to start, of course, they hadn't expected us to be there, so nobody was there waiting for us, and so they had to go and get some of the people. And then, of course, they have to ask the question, "Are you Catholic?" And I said, "No." "Oh, you're United? I said, "No, we're Baptist." You see, some people won't come out if we're not Catholic. Some people won't come out if we're not United. And so that's the problem in the world in which we live, that people are so ingrained in their false teaching that they're scared to have anybody tell them the truth. Now, I would never go and attend a service where the Catholics were teaching, but that's because they're false teachers. But we're not false teachers. But you see, most people have no understanding of what's true and what's not true. So they're easily deceived. And that's the sad reality of where we're living today. People are easily deceived. And one of the reasons people are easily deceived is because they're not being taught the truth. That's why the local church is so important. It's important for saved people. It's also important for lost people. People need to know the truth. And the local church needs to be known as the place where truth is taught. People need to come. They need to hear the truth and they need to respond to the truth. People need to be saved. And so Jesus here is warning his disciples. He's answering them. And he's telling them, take heed that no man deceive you. The second point we have is that false Christs abound. In verse 5, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That word is important to note, the word many. There are many that have come in Jesus' name. The Pharisees claimed to be speaking on behalf of God. There were false teachers in the time of the apostles, and there have been false teachers in every generation since then, people who claim to be speaking on behalf of God, people who claim to receive visions from God, and many other ways in which they do that. And so Jesus warns here of that reality that many will come in that way. Galatians chapter 1 in your Bibles. The Apostle Paul was directed by God to address this matter. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says there, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." So you see, one of the problems that we are finding in today's world, even in independent Baptist churches oftentimes, is we have a tolerance for false teachers that we ought not to have. Now, I don't need to go around to the United Church here with a placard and stand outside and protest. I don't need to go to the Catholic social club and do that either. But I do need to be careful what is taught in this place. I need to be careful and seek to help people and encourage people to read the truth, believe the truth, follow the truth. I can't go into people's homes and say, "I want to see what you're reading today." That's not my place. I can ask, but I don't have the authority to limit you as to what you can read and what you can't read. But a good pastor will take a concern in his flock that God has given him. And the people, if they're saved, will appreciate a pastor who cares enough to want to encourage them to read good material. It's very important for us as adults, very important for our children as well. Instead of teaching children false doctrine and then later on trying to change them, why not give them the truth from the start? Give them God's word from the start. We've talked before about Bible story books for children. Personally, I don't know why we need to have Bible story books for children. I know when we were younger parents, we thought that was important as well. And we bought some Bible story books for children. And we found out later, it wasn't written in the material at all that I could see, but we found out later as we were reading through them, their doctrine was wrong. And that caused me to do more research on them. And I found out that they were Seventh-day Adventists. And when we found that out, that was the end of that material. But you see, what's wrong with the Bible? Jesus didn't dumb down his message when the children were brought to him. He rebuked the disciples for trying to keep them away from him, but he didn't dumb down his message just because there were children there. The Sermon on the Mount, as we read it, there were children in attendance when Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. We don't read anything in that account that the children were running along the shore, picking up stones and skipping them in the water because they couldn't pay attention to what Jesus was teaching. We don't read any of that. We have the phony idea that children don't have the capacity to sit and learn. It's not biblical, but we've been brainwashed into believing that. And we need to understand that children can learn. Children can learn the truth. Children can be saved. Children need to understand the importance of biblical salvation. And as we expose them to the truth, to God's word, The Spirit of God has greater access to speak to their hearts and to show them their need of salvation. But if we try to interfere with that, then we shouldn't be scratching our head and saying, I wonder why my children haven't got the interest in being saved. I've said before that when I go visiting, I always try to make sure that I have a Bible with me, either on my phone nowadays or in the past, I used to have at least a New Testament in my pocket, because I didn't want to be caught at someone's door or meeting someone on the street and they have a perversion and I don't have a Bible, and so I can't show them from the Bible the things that I'm telling them. I wouldn't use a perversion to try to lead someone to Christ. But then why would I use a perversion to try to lead my children to Christ? You see, I mentioned before that when I was a young father, I thought, because I was raised that way, I thought, well, yeah, we need Bible stories for the children. But I've learned that that's not true. Now, I could be foolish and say, well, I did it, so I guess I should allow for other people to do it. That doesn't fit with what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says. We read that earlier. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. See, once we know the truth, we need to discard the false. James says, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So once God shows me something from his word, and then I say, oh well, I don't want to rock the boat, or we've always done it this way, or whatever other kind of excuse I might want to make up. Once I do that, I'm sinning. I know better, and I choose not to do what is right. That's part of deception, thinking that I know better than the Word of God. Because when I ignore the Word of God, that's what I'm saying. I know better. Yeah, it says this, but that doesn't work. And so there are many false Christs. Jesus says so. And the Bible says they're going to deceive many. So we need to be careful that we're not part of those that are being deceived by false Christs. We need to be those that are listening to the truth and settled in our hearts and minds that we're not going to accept anything but the truth. We want to be well-grounded, and we want others to know the truth as well. The third thing that we see in this passage is don't run ahead of God. Don't run ahead of God. In the past several days, if you've paid attention to the news, you know that Israel has been facing greater attacks again from its enemies, this time from Gaza. But the instigator behind Gaza has been Iran. Iran is too far away to be effective in lobbying missiles and stuff from their own country, so they use Gaza, they use Hamas, they use different groups closer to Israel to attack them. They supply them with the weapons, and then they encourage them to attack Israel. Interestingly, in all the rockets that have been fired into Israel so far in this latest skirmish, from what I've heard, not one Israeli has been killed. And the Israelis, on the other hand, have taken out, from what I've been told in the news, they've taken out all of the chief leaders of the terrorist group in Gaza. And they've arrested many more. We also hear that there's the war between Russia and Ukraine. We know that our country of Canada has taken many of your tax dollars and my tax dollars and sent equipment over to Ukraine. There are reports out that less than 50% of the equipment that's being sent to Ukraine is actually getting to Ukraine. Where is the rest of it going? which terrorist group is getting a hold of that equipment? And then the other thing is that the Ukrainians don't have the knowledge and sometimes don't have the equipment that is needed to use the equipment we send them. So it's useless to them. And furthermore, we have no business fighting that war between Ukraine and Russia, nor do we have any business supporting either side, because we don't really know what's going on. Now, maybe some of our government officials know, but they're certainly not telling us the truth. And we know from what we are being told that the Ukrainian side is just as wicked as the Russian side. So we don't know really what's going on. We got no business there. But our tax dollars are being used to fund that war. It's foolishness. In our text here, Jesus says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, I just gave you some illustrations of conflicts taking place in Israel, conflicts in between Ukraine and Russia, but none of that has anything to do with what Jesus said here in this passage. I mean, we have had wars in our world since the fall. Cain was the first warrior, fought against his brother Abel and killed him. From there were bigger wars. But none of that has to do with what Jesus is teaching the disciples here and us. You notice in the question again in verse 3, what shall be the sign of thy coming, number 2, and number 3, and of the end of the world? Notice in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's the answer to the disciples' question number 3. When's the end? What's Jesus talking about? Well, again, the context tells us he's talking about the 7-year tribulation period. And what is happening in verse 6 and in verse 7 is not the end of the tribulation. So any Christians that will be living in the tribulation should not look at these things and say, okay, now we're near the end. Because Jesus says that these things are going to be common. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Revelation 1, 2, and 3 is John writing while he's on this earth. Jesus, in chapters 2 and 3, is addressing 7 local churches that are on this earth. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says there, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that which must be hereafter." In chapter 4, John is invited up to heaven. That's a picture of the rapture. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 are written to us in our time. Chapter 4 is the rapture, which then initiates the tribulation. In chapter 6, we'll read the whole chapter, 17 verses, but just to help us to see what's going on. And he says, John is told here to write, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the Antichrist. This is at the beginning of the tribulation. He has a bow, he has a crown, he is the ruler of the world, but notice that he went forth conquering and to conquer. So he's going to be a deceiver, he's going to come in with a message of peace, and he will win some of the people over with his subtlety, but there's others that he's going to have to win over by war, conquering and to conquer. If we look at Canada, and if Canada still stands at the time of the rapture, I believe Canada will just bow down to the Antichrist. We have bowed down to a very wicked ruler now in our country. And it wouldn't be hard to imagine that those who are left behind when the rapture takes place will just gladly bow to the Antichrist. And then it says in verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Well, what happens when you take peace from the earth? You got war, right? This is happening also at the beginning of the tribulation. So it says there in that verse at the end, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. You remember Gideon? Gideon went to war against the Midianites, and he had lanterns and trumpets and pitchers, right? And he was told to get into the camp and break the pitchers and shout out the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And what happened to the enemies then? Do you remember? They fought each other, right? They killed each other. That's what's going to happen here, it says, in the tribulation. It's going to be such a mess, even though the Antichrist is coming in as a messenger of peace, but the turmoil that he's going to create and that God is going to also bring about at that time is going to cause such great confusion that there's going to be massive unrest. I just heard this week, you remember that in February we had a major event took place in Canada called the Freedom Convoy. There were large numbers of trucks from across the country that went to Ottawa. And it seemed like they were fairly united. But I just heard this week from one of the people that's been reporting on it since February, that there are divisions within that whole movement. People fighting against each other, they can't get along and what their purpose is and so on. And he's warning against it and is somewhat discouraged by what he's seeing. Well, that's to be expected. Because those who are involved in that whole thing, yes, some of them, they want freedom. They can't identify what freedom looks like. They don't want God. That's obvious from the way that thing was conducted. And when you don't have God, you can't have freedom. You can't have peace. So there was a short window when they got along with each other, but now that things have kind of settled down a little bit, now there's divisions developing. That's just a small picture of what it's going to be like when the Antichrist comes. So the second horse, the red horse, going to take peace away from the world. Number 5, verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The food supplies are going to be under attack. What are we seeing in the world right now being blamed on the war in Ukraine, but there's food shortages coming. Has nothing to do with the fact that our world is not capable of producing food, but has to do with foolish government policies. There are ships sitting out in the ocean that can't get to port because there aren't workers to unload them. Where'd the workers go? Well, many of them lost their jobs because of the foolish dictates the government put in regarding the shots. Just like our healthcare service, they keep talking about there's such a shortage of nurses and doctors. Yeah, why? Within a very short space of time, I think it was in 1 week, five doctors died in Toronto. What'd they die from? They died from getting the shots. The media won't tell you that, but that's what happened. You see, there are many doctors and nurses that can't work because they didn't get the shots. They weren't foolish enough to get them. And others that got the shots aren't well enough now to work. Same thing with our ports. People can't work. Some of them didn't get the shots, and some of them are too sick to work. So we have a manufactured food problem happening, but that's going to be worse, as we see here, in the time of the tribulation. And then it says in verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So you see, while the Antichrist is trying to establish himself as this ruler that is going to bring peace to the world, God is going to be working very, very effectively in interfering with the Antichrist's plans. He is going to be doing things that the Antichrist can't control. And so the Antichrist is going to be working very hard. He's going to have his spin doctors. We have the mainstream media, all paid for by our government. Your tax dollars and mine are paying for the media to tell us lies. Propaganda machines. The Antichrist will likely have his propaganda machine. And he'll be out there trying to tell people, yeah, it's all good, it's all good. We're going to get everything fixed up. Yeah, there's some trouble out there, but don't worry about that. We're going to get it all fixed up. You know, it'll all be good. Meanwhile, God is going to be creating problems bigger than the Antichrist could ever take care of. In verse 9, it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's a picture that Jesus is giving us of the beginning times of the tribulation, back in our text in Matthew 24. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. This is the beginning of the tribulation. The Antichrist will be involved in some of this, but the Antichrist can't cause earthquakes. He can't even cause pestilences. He can't cause a famine either. He can stir up people for fighting, but God is going to be working. You know, back in the days of Joseph, there was a famine in Egypt, and God caused that famine. But he gave the people warning, and Joseph gathered all the food that was needed during 7 good years, so that during the 7 years of famine, he could feed not just the nation of Egypt, but even surrounding nations. But here, the famines are going to come, but nobody's going to have gathered food in preparation. We talked before the service a little bit about preppers. First of all, any prepper that has food in the tribulation time won't live for very long. Because if someone next to you is starving and he's lost, and he sees that you have food and you're fat, you're not starving, he's going to figure out, where'd you get your food? He's going to come after you. Remember, sword against sword. So there's going to be people killing one another for food. So those that are preppers and thinking, well, I'm going to be prepared for the tribulation. We've heard of individuals who have stockpiles of weapons because they think they're going to fight off anybody during the tribulation. That isn't going to work very long. But you see, there's going to be such a turmoil in that time. But Jesus is telling the disciples here, and by extension, because the tribulation is primarily to the nation of Israel, by extension, the Jews of that time, that these are the things that they're going to face. In Revelation 6, we see that the Antichrist is going to be busy killing Christians as well. No Christian will enter into the tribulation, but there will be people that will be saved during that time. And the Antichrist won't have any room for them. We've noted that in the time of Pharaoh. He had no time for God. He had no interest in allowing the Jews, the nation of Israel, to go and worship God. He figured if he kept them busier, they'd get that out of their head and it would just be gone. Our prime minister has no place for God either. He's tried to shut down the churches in the past 2 years. Our premiers have done the same. It's very interesting how the churches in their minds are one of the most dangerous places for the spread of a non-lethal virus. But you can go to Walmart, and you can go to Costco, and you can go to many other places, and it's not a problem over there, but it certainly is. We were told when we had people in here, what would you do if someone died? You'd be charged with manslaughter. You know, what a foolish police officer. But you see, that's how they try to scare us. They try to suggest that this is a dangerous place. They'll be sorry one day unless they get saved. But you see, Jesus is telling us here in this passage that we shouldn't run ahead of him. What we are seeing in our world today is not what Jesus is talking about here. Everything that we are seeing today is the result, the wickedness we're seeing is the result of sin. James tells us where war comes from. We lust for things. We want things that we can't have. Every war is fought that way. But this is not the tribulation. We should be concerned. We don't want to be a part of it, but it's not the tribulation. That's coming, and it'll be worse than what we have today. So again, for those that are listening that are not saved, it's very important to understand that the day of salvation is today. This is the time to turn to God, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Today. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So this is the time that we have, and we should be using it profitably. We're going to see more as we go on in this passage, but it's very important for us to keep in mind the context as we move forward. And understand that, yes, we can look at these passages. We need to study them. It's worth God's word. We need to study them to meet God's approval. And we need to take the lessons from them that we can. And the lesson from this passage we have is don't be deceived. There will be many false Christs in the tribulation time, but there are many today as well. False Christs are always out there to deceive, always out to keep people from knowing the truth. That's their purpose. Otherwise, they wouldn't be claiming to be Christ. They wouldn't be claiming to speak in the behalf of the Lord when they're telling lies. Like Kenneth Copeland and Joseph Prince and hundreds of others, thousands of others who are out there lying to people. But many people are gullible and they'll believe those lies. They're gullible today, and they'll be gullible when the tribulation starts. So we don't need to be deceived today, and we need to help others also that they're not deceived and get caught up in the lies of today and miss out on the blessings of heaven, forgiveness of sin, and God's peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have thy word. We're thankful that we can study thy word, that we can be blessed in the study of thy word. We can receive these warnings that are given here, understanding that war is a part of wicked humanity. There are always people that are not walking with thee and have a desire for things that don't belong to them. And they think that might makes right because of the evolutionary thinking that many are living under. They think it's survival of the fittest. And so there's always fighting going on. We see it and hear about it in the streets of our cities. We see it in the news from other parts of the world. It's a fact because of sin. We need to understand that the only way to have peace is to know the Prince of Peace. We're thankful that in this age in which we're living, we can know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and have him as the Lord of our lives. And we can help others to know the truth as well. And we pray again for anyone that's listening today that they would see the need to believe the truth. Not just with their mouth, but in their hearts. We know that when we believe the truth in our hearts, it changes us. And we can hear thee, and we desire to follow thee. It's not confusing at all to walk the Christian life. It's confusing when we try to be a double-minded individual. So I pray that thy will be accomplished in each one that's listening. We might see the importance of truth and humbly submit to thee to know thy peace and blessing. May thy will be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.